Hey, this is Nick Gelso, co-owner and founder of CLNS Radio. Today's podcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is the home of expert video tutorials. Because you're such a loyal listener of CLNS Radio, and it's 2015, you want to kick the new year off in style, claim your free trial today from CLNS by going to Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. Now on to your regularly scheduled program.
Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com.
Off the turnover, Rondo reverse, banks it in.
Fans, this is your destination for interactive Celtics coverage all season long.
Kelly still has time. Takes it.
So what are you waiting for? We want to hear from you. Dial in at 347-215-7771.
Green out of the corner. Got another one.
Now let's get it started.
Another classic Celtics performance tonight displayed. And Celtics fans, you got to feel pretty good walking away with a victory on the road against one of the hottest teams in the Eastern Conference, the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Boston Celtics take this one 99-90. Great performances all around, and I can't wait to break it down with you. And, of course, in order for me to do that, I got to have my co-host with me. This week, I got my man Brian Langford.
What's
Brian,
up?
You
what's
with
up?
Us tonight, my man?
Yes, sir. Yes,
how you
sir.
Feeling, man?
Hey, a big win tonight. Playoff bound. LeBron's having nightmares. I love it because when he sees green, he knows his ass belongs to us. And I know Nick Gelso will get to me about my language, but hey, he knows what time it is. It's playoff time, baby. It's almost about that time.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, tonight it's carte blanche on the feelings that Celtics fans should have, because who would have thought that when this roster was put together at the beginning of this season that there would be any inclination of us talking about the Boston Celtics and the possibilities of being a part of this 2014-2015 Eastern Conference playoff picture. And right now, with three games remaining, the Boston Celtics can easily say that they control their own destiny. And with this type of win that they had tonight on the road, now seven games straight winning on the road, Brad Stevens has this Boston Celtics team clicking on all cylinders. And we can talk about all of the great things that happened tonight. We can talk about the bad things that happened tonight. But at the end of the day, the one thing that matters most about what the Celtics did tonight is that they won the basketball game. And they pretty much have put themselves in a position where they control their own destiny, something that some of these other teams right now that are still chasing the Celtics in that eighth seed have not given themselves an opportunity to do, Brian.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to tell you this. I've been bashed on Twitter already, Kyle. Here it is already. Listen, I don't know why I get treated this bad. I tweet one thing, and it's like, it's almost like I get like the Skip Bayless like lashed out. This is my tweet. LeBron, this could be your worst nightmare. Playing the Celtics in the playoffs. Hashtag playoff bound. It's a joke. I don't expect the Celtics to go nowhere. I know what my expectation is. My expectation was another rebuilding year. We have exceeded the rebuilding year by potentially making the playoffs. That makes me happy. That makes me excited to see that Boston basketball is coming back. And the fans, Kyle, because you know what's going on right now. All the old fans are starting to crawl back now. They're starting to say, oh, man, we shouldn't have left. We should have just hung around for a couple seasons while everything was a little rough. And it happens. Hey, I'm a guy that didn't have faith in Brad Stevens. And he's starting to tell me, Brian, trust me, I'm going to lead this team to higher mountains with the weaker roster. So, I mean, again, impressive win tonight by the Celtics. They are proven to all the doubters right now, Kyle, because I looked at ESPN, I watched NBA TV. When they asked the 7th and the 8th seed, nobody mentioned Boston. Everybody said Indiana, Milwaukee, and Miami, or you know, other teams. It was not the Celtics. And right now, the Celtics are making a good statement. Heck, I mean, this is a reach, but could they potentially get the sixth spot? Could they reach up that far?
I mean, they're going to need a little bit of help to do that. But you know what? The Milwaukee Bucks have not played impressive basketball, you know, over the last couple of weeks. And I wouldn't think it would be a complete stretch for them not to try and make that push. I mean, we still have a tougher road ahead because we still have to play Cleveland on the back of a home-and-home. You know, who knows what David Blatt's mentality and strategy will be coming into that game. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. The Celtics still have to play the Toronto Raptors. But if the Boston Celtics somehow put themselves in a position where that game against the Milwaukee Bucks, I believe, is going to be the final game of the season. If the Boston Celtics do what is necessary to make that game, you know, a game of importance, and that will be the last game of the season, of the regular season for the Boston Celtics, is taking on the Milwaukee Bucks. You could very well be right, Brian. We could very well be talking about the Boston Celtics climbing up a notch or two and, you know, actually putting themselves in position to have a matchup that gives them a stone's throw's chance to make it a series or whoever they play against in that first round of the playoffs. Right now, for Boston Celtics fans, though, the bottom line is we're talking about the Celtics and the highest possibility right now of them being in this Eastern Conference playoff picture, which is absolutely unbelievable. We got so much to get into with regards to tonight's game. Some really impressive performances by some key guys. And, you know, again, this is what you want. With Brad Stevens, he is now beginning to see who he can lean on to be the guy to help carry this team through games like these against the better teams in the NBA. So we want to get your thoughts. Give us a call here, 347-215-7771. This is CLNS Radio's post-game show. Celtics defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers on the road, 99-90, powered by CLNS, Lynda.com, and Peak Brewing. Be sure to go to www.lynda.com and get on board. There's a 10-day free trial membership with a plethora of different courses that you can learn from, get into something new, tell a friend, and you guys can learn together. Go to www.lynda.com. Let's go ahead, Brian, and let's talk about what the Boston Celtics did in this first half, because I got to tell you, it was probably one of the best first halves of basketball that I've seen from the Boston Celtics against a good, solid basketball team. From the jump, they came out with a competitive fire on the road, something that they normally lack against the better teams. They start off slow, and they quickly found themselves getting themselves into that groove, putting themselves in position so that by the time that this first half ran, I'm sure people almost had done an exorcist with their head turning, seeing the scoreboard, watching the Celtics had a 14-point lead at halftime, dropping 54 points against the Cleveland Cavaliers team that is, you know, without question, has been the best team in the NBA in the second half of the season. What were your thoughts, Brian, about what we saw from the Celtics team right out of the gate in showing that competitive fire against this Cleveland Cavaliers team on their home court?
Well, you said it right. They came out there hitting on all cylinders. You know, I caught the game on the radio the first half, but, I mean, just hearing it, you know, it looks like a guy like Avery Bradley. I mean, the Celtics played like a team that has to win every single game, because I have a motto: if you win out, you got nothing to worry about. If you control your own destiny and all you have to do is win out, you win out and you have nothing to worry about. But you do not want to have to depend on this team losing and that team beating this team. You don't want that, because then you're sitting at home and another team's controlling your fate. So that is not what you want. This team, I mean, for some reason, Kyle, I don't know what it is. Maybe it could be me. Every single time they play LeBron James, it's like it doesn't matter who's wearing that jersey. It's like everybody comes to bring it. Maybe it's almost like, almost. Please, people, I want you to hear me say almost. When guys play Michael Jordan, when, you know, you knew you were playing against Jordan tonight. You knew you were playing against the best player in the NBA, and you had to bring your A game because that was a way to get yourself noticed. It just looks like this Celtics team, or even any Celtics team in the past, does that against LeBron James. What killed LeBron tonight was no Kyrie Irving. No Kyrie Irving hurts a ton for that team, because Kevin Love and LeBron still don't get along on or off the floor. J.R. Smith, I don't think he scored a point tonight, which is unlike J.R. Smith to not to score. So we showed tonight that LeBron needs Kyrie Irving just as much as anybody needs on that floor, but Kyrie was definitely missed tonight for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you can definitely tell that the team offensively wasn't all together. in the beginning of the game. And, you know, when the Celtics took advantage of that, I thought a lot of it had to do with the defensive and offensive tenacity of Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley. We're finally seeing a little bit of what this potential backcourt can do. And then you have Isaiah Thomas coming off the bench. You know, one of the things that has always concerned me is we don't question the toughness that Marcus Smart brings. And when he has his head on right, he is as good as they come. He literally, I mean, you saw moments where Marcus Smart wasn't afraid to D up against LeBron James in this game, which is exactly what you want. I feel like he's cut from that Rondo cloth. And whether or not that will translate to him being a better offensive player than Rajon Rondo was at times, because I'm not expecting Marcus Smart to be a great facilitator. I'm expecting him to be a great shot creator for this Boston Celtics team. But what I saw from him is exactly what I thought was necessary in his maturation process, you know, coming in as a rookie to help this Celtics team, is to not back down against a better team in the NBA. If you're Brad Stevens, that would be a very big concern, that you're going to lean on certain guys that you don't have certainty that they know how to play in these type of situations. Let's keep in mind that for most of these guys that are playing tonight's game, they don't know what it's like to be playing in this type of scenario. If they do, they were doing it on the bench. So you have to give a big kudos to Brad Stevens to getting these guys to understand the importance not only of this game, but the importance of what it means to come out and hit this team hard, knowing that they don't have their complete lineup. They don't have their best team. This could have easily been a game where the Boston Celtics came out, played just good enough maybe to win. But I think that through this win, they helped realize that they can be as competitive. Even if they brought back Kyrie Irving, I'm not saying that they're going to win out a series in the playoffs. What I'm saying is that they can be competitive, and that's necessary coming down this stretch where you don't lose your composure knowing that you're in it to win it to get into this playoffs.
No, that's true. You got to stay focused. I mean, you know, and this points back to this team, you know, in the beginning of the season. You look at guys like Rondo, guys like Jeff Green was around this team, and now all those guys are gone. And when those guys got traded, the first thing all of us Celtics fans said was, oh, here goes another 20-win season, and back in the lottery we go. And you make a good point. Everybody is staying focused. And I like where this team can go. Do I think they can go far in the playoffs, Cal? I'll be honest, probably not. But do I think that they can make some type of noise? Yes, because you look at not just traditional teams, but you look at fanhood. I mean, Boston fans, I mean, they're going to pack that garden up like they were. They're going to pack that garden up like they're number one seed when they make the playoffs. They're going to pack this up as a number one seed. And that's what it all comes down to. It's loyalty of your team. It's always people staying focused. And, you know, to be honest, I screamed trade Rajon Rondo in October. I screamed it in November. I screamed it in December. I lost my voice in January by screaming to trade him. I just screamed trade, because I don't think Rondo was the guy that you were going to be able to build around. Now, hey, you look at it, and I think you'll talk about it in a minute. Guys like Isaiah Thomas off the bench, I mean, is outstanding off the bench. Matter of fact, Kyle, he's making me like number four again, because the last guy who wore number four almost made me throw up on my shirt last time. You remember the last guy who wore number four, but I don't think you want to talk about him, Kyle. I do not think you want to talk about him.
I don't think we want to bring him up, man. We're too much of on a high right now with how this Boston Celtics team has been performing. But I do definitely, you know, feel where you're coming from. And one of the things I think that's important is that at some point you have to understand what your team is going to look like moving forward. And to your point about trading, you know, Rajon Rondo. Listen, I'm going to always believe that I'm going to still say that I'm a Rajon Rondo fan. Yes, the guy could be a headache, but there's not a measurement for competitiveness when it comes to the game of basketball at times, because there's some guys who could come out there and they just make the game look so easy. When you look at a guy like Rajon Rondo, a lot of his deficiencies are made up for a lot of the tenacity and the play that I think made this Celtics team such a pest to those Cleveland Cavaliers. And if there's anything that I made sure I would have wanted to have happened when the time came that they needed to move Rajon Rondo, is that he was able to at least instill some knowledge to guys like Avery Bradley, guys like, you know, Marcus Smart, any of the guys that are going to wind up donning the Celtics jersey and be a part of that backcourt for years to come, about what it means to play games and to make these games meaningful. You know, once again, you know, people are going to look at this and they're going to talk about, well, LeBron James didn't play, you know, for most of the fourth quarter. Kyrie Irving wasn't in this game. Kevin Love looked like he was taking a nap through most of this game. And David Blatt was just more content about resurrecting the career of Mike Miller and what he could possibly do, you know, playing for the NBA legends. But the whole point of what is going on here is about the Celtics and the Celtics moving forward. And it's games like these that help kind of set that measurement for us to start holding these guys to that standard. When we talk about guys like Jared Sullinger and what this guy needs to do in order to contribute to this basketball team, how do you measure that if a Celtics team doesn't come out and play hard against a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers? We're going to always depend on Jared Sullinger just basically playing half-ass basketball. And I don't think that that's what you want when you're talking about building a future with this Celtics team. At some point, you got to start looking at this roster and start being realistic about how they're going to compete on a night-in, night-out basis. And when you get down to games 79, get down to games 80, and so forth, these are those games where you can easily just kind of, you know, coast, not really take it seriously, or you understand that you're playing for a lot more. And I think Brad Stevens has kind of gotten that message through to these guys. And even guys like Isaiah Thomas, who's been tossed around like a rag doll throughout the NBA over the last couple of seasons, he seems secure and hell-bent to prove somebody wrong. And he's going to do it at the expense of playing against teams like the Cleveland Cavaliers. And if you're a Boston Celtics fan, would you not want having that guy on your team to play with, to play for and to play with, especially when we're talking about playing in the playoff picture? So what say you, Celtics fans? We want to hear from you. Give us a call, 347-215-7771. Cal Lee, Brian Langford, CLNS, Boston Celtics postgame show. Celtics put a hurting on the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's right, I said they put a hurting on the Cleveland Cavaliers, 99-90 at the Quicken Loans Arena. And, again, impressive game. The Celtics now are actually in seventh place in the Eastern Conference playoff picture, tied with the Brooklyn Nets, who also won tonight with an impressive win against the Washington Wizards. And they are somewhat distancing themselves against the Miami Heat, against the Indiana Pacers, who still mathematically have an opportunity to still make this, you know, a competitive nature. Let's just talk about tonight's game again, Brian. One of the things that I found very interesting was how important it is for Avery Bradley to get in the flow early in the game. 15 points in the first half, helping that Boston Celtics throw 54 on the board against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And look, this Cleveland Cavaliers team is not like the Miami Heat teams, you know, that LeBron James donned the last 4 years defensively. This team has defensive deficiencies. The Boston Celtics exposed those defensive deficiencies. What I was more surprised about was how easily the Boston Celtics were able to get baskets. Even with LeBron James, Timothy Mozgov, who are pretty good defenders, even with an inadequate defensive team, but you clearly see that this Cleveland Cavaliers team is going to still take some work as far as playing better defensive basketball, at least to the standard that LeBron James is playing at. And if you're the Boston Celtics, this is a good thing that you were able to get in your offensive flow quickly to put 54 points on the board against this Cleveland Cavaliers team.
Well, you said right about Avery Bradley getting the early start. Here's the thing I've always said about Bradley, that when he starts like with a basic layup or an open jump shot or something that's more efficient, he's a great player. But when he starts off with his, I call it notorious Ray Allen three-pointer, I go, no, that's not Avery Bradley that, you know, I want to see. And he started off great tonight. I actually had a great game to me. And this team, I mean, and you praise this team just as much as I praise them, is that they came out there tonight determined. They came out there and said, hey, you know what, count us out because we're playing Cleveland on back-to-back nights. That's fine. Count us out. Because guess what thing we can do? we can go out here, put a show on for the fans, and let them know that, hey, this Celtics team is for real. And I get it. They're at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, and, you know, we want to automatically pencil in maybe Atlanta, Cleveland, or Chicago, Cleveland, the Eastern Conference Finals, or whatever it is. But the East, Cal, I'll say this for the first time in a couple seasons, that bottom 7-8 seed, that's a dangerous place for them number ones, number twos, because Brooklyn is playing, I mean, out of this world ball, and people are not watching the Brooklyn Nets because it seems like the Brooklyn Nets are not on national TV. But if you're talking about Brooklyn potentially being an 8 seed, that could be dangerous for the Atlanta Hawks. So I keep saying this. I'm not saying that Atlanta or Cleveland will lose in the first round. I'm saying this, that it's a dangerous bottom 7 of the AC. And I'm seriously, Kyle, I'll say this with my heart, and I mean it. I'm not going to say let's pencil in Cleveland and Atlanta for round two. They are going to have to go through a dogfight, especially to beat the Celtics team. You talked about Isaiah Thomas. I mean, this dude scorched. When I say scorched, he scorched Detroit. You know, he comes back out. He's a man on a mission, and that's the type of guy that you want in Boston, a guy with a man on a mission.
Well, yeah, definitely. You know, one of the things I like about Isaiah Thomas's game, and I believe that in ways it offsets what we have right now with the combination of Marcus Smart and Avery Bradley, because Avery Bradley is the kind of guy that he wants to be a set shooter. As much as you know, you want to see him be a little bit more aggressive, attack the basket, that's more Marcus Smart's game. I think Marcus Smart, even though he's fallen in love with shooting the three ball, and you know, I know a lot of media analysts and even guys, you know, on our staff have basically mentioned the fact that they don't mind Marcus Smart shooting that three ball because he's getting progressively better with it. There needs to be a balance tonight. You know, the Celtics, again, struggled shooting the three, 8-for-22. And there comes a point where you need balance. And I believe Isaiah Thomas provides that additive to the balance. Because if Marcus Smart is not driving to the basket aggressively, if he is not forcing the defense to foul and putting the Celtics on the free throw line, that guy that will do that is Isaiah Thomas. And he's not afraid to do it. We've seen the aggressiveness that Isaiah Thomas exhibits when he is on that basketball court, his relentlessness to get to the basket. And even if people don't like the fact that he may settle for jumpers like tonight, I think he tried launching one from like the back of the arena at one point in the third quarter against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'll take one of those ridiculous, idiotic shots from Isaiah Thomas for every three shots that he is basically trying to drive and put his knee on top of Timothy Mozgov's head if he has an opportunity to. That is the kind of aggressiveness that the Boston Celtics need from their backcourt in order for any of their front court players who love to do a little pick and pop, who love to kind of hang around 9+ feet from around the perimeter to shoot that mid-range jumper. The Celtics need their backcourt guys to get into the paint to kind of funnel that defense down, to give up space for guys like Brandon Bass, Kelly Olynyk, Jared Sullinger, Jonas Jurekpo, Jay Crowder, any of those guys to shoot high-percentage mid-range shots where it's not always contested. And tonight we saw that from the Boston Celtics. If the Celtics are going to shoot a low percentage of three-point shots, they're either going to have to rebound the ball aggressively, which they also did that tonight against a surprisingly bigger front court of the Cleveland Cavaliers, but they also need to drive the basketball aggressively. And we saw them doing that with a little bit more conviction tonight, which I think is what helped them sustain this win that they got against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I don't like no team who, like, goes crazy, like, on three-point missions. Like, that's what irritates me sometimes about the Celtics team. And that's why I think they underachieved so much last year, is that, you know, they think that they just have to shoot threes, and it's not that. I mean, I like Jared Sullinger. But, you know, last year and parts of it this year when he was playing, he just shoots extremely too many three-pointers. I just shake my head and be like, no, you're a strong guy. You can dominate the paint. I've seen you have a 20-20 game. And when I seen that 20-20 game, I said to myself, this dude's got so much Charles Barkley in him. And somebody was like, oh, Brian, you go compare somebody to great people again. I said, no, I'm not saying he is Charles Barkley. I'm saying he has that Barkley that Barkley thing in him. Like, he's an undersized power forward in my opinion. And he can shoot the ball very well. But when he dominates in the paint, I mean, he's just unstoppable. You know, I mean, even guys like Marcus Smart, you know, you said it. Sometimes he just takes some crazy threes as well, too. I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, they just got that feeling sometimes that they can shoot threes and do this type of thing. But I think like this, when the Celtics control the pace of the game and when they're not really trying to – when they had Cleveland confused, okay? There was times when Cleveland was confused because the Celtics kept the ball moving and took the best shot available. And those are things you want to see. Everybody got a piece of the pie tonight. That's the way this team should go. This team doesn't have a superstar. Let's be honest. This team doesn't have a star. This team is just a bunch of guys put together to go out there to get the best effort every night, because guys like Jonas Drekbo, guys like Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, these guys were basically saying, look, this is it. You guys don't get no more opportunities. And these guys come to Boston, and all of a sudden, I see resurrected careers. I see guys who probably going to get opportunities somewhere else next season. And I do wish them the best if that happens, Kyle. I'm not a salty Celtics fan. Hey, I like to see my Celtics, you know, revive careers. Now, I would like to see people like definitely Isaiah Thomas stay, but if he leaves, then you have to understand it's a business deal. But he's a guy that, man, we have to really consider locking up for the future, because I think he's a part of this future.
Well, I completely agree with you. And let me add on to a point that you just made a moment ago, but we also want to hear from you. Give us a call, 347-215-7771. And right now we're talking about the gameplay of Isaiah Thomas tonight, who is spectacular off the bench, 23 minutes of work, 4 of 12 shooting, 17 points, 2 of 6 from 3. But key was that he was 7 of 8 for the free throw line. You know, something that both the Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers just do not do a good job at is hitting free throws. Those are free points, and probably would have made this game a little bit easier for the Celtics had they been a little bit more consistent on the free throw line. But that's another point that we'll get into a little bit later on in the show. But I want to add on to something that you just spoke about with regards to what the makeup of this Boston Celtics team is. You know, a lot of times when people look up and down at the rosters of the big-name teams like the Golden State Warriors, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and let's even talk about guys who have had that star on their chest like the San Antonio Spurs, the perception is that if these teams are winning basketball games at a very high rate, averaging 50, 60 wins a season and things of that nature, you would think that the only way that this team wins championships is that you have to have stars, you have to have superstars. But when you're talking about the Boston Celtics and you're talking about teams like the Atlanta Hawks, we understand that they don't have stars, but they have go-to guys. And that, to me, is the key. If you're not going to have a star, if you're not going to have a superstar, you're not going to have a Carmelo Anthony, a Kevin Durant, a Russell Westbrook, or a James Harden, or a Steph Curry, or a LeBron James, or maybe even a Kyrie Irving or Kevin Love. If you don't have any of those guys, if you expect to win in this league, you need to have go-to guys. And I believe Brad Stevens has found his go-to guy in Isaiah Thomas. And sometimes the go-to guy doesn't have to be the guy that is starting on your roster. He just needs to be the guy that you know when you need to get this team in gear offensively, when you need to make a run to get back in the game, when you need to break a team's hopes or emotion to even come back in the game. That's who you lean on. That's your go-to guy. And that's Isaiah Thomas. When Isaiah Thomas comes in, he does something for this Celtics team, whether it be offensively, whether it be emotionally, whether it be through his tenacity playing defensively. He's the little guy and everybody wants to body him up. He plays like he's the big guy on campus. He believes that he belongs, and he exudes that when he plays with the rest of those guys on that floor. And it doesn't matter if you're a starter or you're coming off of the bench. And that, to me, is key. When you're making these last stretch of games for the Celtics to put themselves in the position that they're in, that Brad Stevens believes and he knows now that he's got a go-to guy, something that we couldn't have said even when we had Rajon Rondo and Jeff Green and a host of other guys. We were funneling through the roster to find a go-to guy, but we couldn't until that deal was made by Danny Ainge to bring Isaiah Thomas to this team. We now have a go-to guy, and I think that puts us in another step closer to being competitive if we're going to be in this playoff picture. And that's something that some of these other teams, you're still struggling to find out. And they have stars on their team. But is that guy their go-to guy?
I'm like you, Kyle. People drooled over Kevin Love coming to this team. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Kevin Love is not a good player. He's a stats guy to me. He likes numbers. But they drooled, begged for Kevin Love. Then when he changed his mind, it was, oh, I hate Kevin Love. Here was my thing. I never do that for star players. Like, I'm just not – you're not going to see me push the envelope for star players. That's just not what I want. I mean, give me a decent player. Give me role players. I mean, you look at it like this. The pressure goes on Cleveland to win a championship in year one. Why? Because you got Irving, James, Kevin Love. And you turn around and you look at those teams, you look at that team and you go, how are they going to win the championship? Because all around roster don't look that good to me. Somebody's going to try to tell me that, oh, Mike Miller's being saved for the playoffs. Get out of here. I ain't going for that. Mike Miller's past his time. It's completely over for Mike Miller. Please record the podcast and keep that statement that I just said. I like this team. I like them. They're guys who are humble to this game. Brad Stevens, a young head coach, he's getting the job done, and he's making Danny Ainge look like, a freaking genius right now because, you know, when you move on from Doc Rivers, that's a hard replacement, especially, you know, for this team who won the championship in 2008 and who went back to the finals 2 years later and went in the Eastern Conference Finals right after that. So that was a lot of pressure on Brad Stevens. So I like this team. I like the way they're built. I just like everything about this team. I think once you took the Rondos away, like I said, I like Rondo. I think of every single thing that he did for this team, but this new team he wasn't built for because he was used to guys like Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett knowing what to be on the floor. So I like this team right here, man. I like Marcus Smart, Bradley. I like the whole lineup. I think that come playoff time, you're going to have to shorten it down. My question is, Kyle, who probably wouldn't make the playoff roster? Because unless Brad Stevens is going to play 10 guys, I just don't see that in the playoffs. So that means you're going to have to play your starting five and four other guys. And you got to figure out who the best four other guys are for this team.
Yeah, that's going to be a pretty interesting question to look at and answer. Tonight, if we basically had to gauge, on who really kind of sold Brad Stevens with confidence that he's definitely gonna, lean on this guy to be a part of this playoff roster. You look at tonight, the Celtics had five players in double figures tonight: Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Tyler Zeller had a really efficient night on only 18 minutes of work, but had 13.6 rebounds. Brandon Bass tonight, again, putting in that work, 12 points tonight. A really balanced attack by the Boston Celtics tonight. To answer your question, I'm really concerned about Jared Sullinger. And I know that's your boy. I know you like Jared. But I'm really concerned about him. I do not believe that he is as healthy as we lean on the idea that he makes it out to be. I get it. He very much wanted to kind of help this team, propel themselves to be a part of this, to be in this playoff picture, and maybe in situations, I think that he can probably be an asset. I said it, about a week ago that I just wasn't sold on the idea of bringing back Jared Sullinger at this particular juncture with the Celtics in the position that they're in, because I feel like it takes away minutes from guys that I think need those minutes to continue what the Celtics have done up to this point when they didn't have Jared Sullinger. Not to take anything away from the idea that I wouldn't want Jared Sullinger to be in the playoffs and helping this team. But what tonight, and let me ask you, Brian, from what you were hearing, from kind of what you kind of felt from when Jared Sullinger was in the game, do you feel with confidence that he is going to be able to contribute these last stretch of games and even be effective if the Celtics finish this off and get themselves in the playoffs?
Well, here's my thing. I'm going to agree with you on this one. I'm going to agree. I don't have to agree with a lot of people, but I agree. Here's the thing. When they first ruled Sullinger out for the season, I'm trying to figure out how did all of a sudden the foot get healed. It went from out for the season to foot's healed, playing tonight, And I think that comes a part where Kyle, there comes a point in Jared Sullinger's head where he starts to think that this team may think they're better off without him. And, you know, you think about losing your spot because, you know, even when you're injured, you can lose your spot. Ask Ray Allen how it feels to lose his spot to Avery Bradley when he was injured. I think Sullinger probably seen flashes of that potentially happening to him. I agree with you. He's not healthy. Oh, he may be healthy, but it takes a lot to get back into basketball shape. Like, he may be in shape to, like, work out in the gym or whatever it is he does, but basketball, you know, to be in basketball shape is completely tough. And it doesn't look like Jared Sullinger is right there yet. I think he still needs more time. I think Brad Stevens is keeping an eye on him. You know, you have to limit his minutes, but like I say, I think he's just scared. I think he's scared, Kyle. I think he's just that nervous that he is not a part of the future after seeing what this team did as soon as he took his fall. So, I mean, you know, kudos to Sully trying to come back, but, you know, don't come back to risk further injury, though. That's the last thing that the Celtics need.
Yeah, I completely agree. And then, you know, added on top of that, you know, and Jared Weiss had even brought up a really good point last week, which has stuck in my mind, is that, you know, the perception is that while he was injured, and the biggest concern about Jared Sullinger is his ability to keep his weight down. And there were reports that even though he was injured and he was trying to rehab to get himself back in, that he apparently lost weight. And I just have a hard time seeing where that's been the case. Jared Sullinger, to me, his athleticism has diminished through the course of this season. And this, to me, is a serious concern. If you're talking about being a part of a future for a franchise, you know, there are just certain expectations that you need to hold to yourself just as a competitor. You know, I see guys, and you know, I had talked about this from before, I see guys like Udonis Haslam, Dennis Pittman, all of these guys who, even Hassan Whiteside, you know, Hassan Whiteside did not jump out the womb with the kind of body that he currently has now with the Miami Heat. You know, that kid put in work. And when he realized that nobody was seriously considering him or giving him looks, and he basically had been back and forth in and out of leagues, you know, not even being able to get tryouts at a certain point, you know, he realized that he had to change his regimen, he had to change his diet, he had to change his attitude about how he takes care of himself in order to be effective for whoever he's playing with on that basketball court. And I just don't know if Jared Sullinger truly understands the magnitude of this. You know, Udonis Haslam wasn't considered a high draft pick, even though he won in the University of Florida. And when he came into the NBA, he realized that in order for him to be a part of a basketball team, he had to change his regimen and his diet. And I think that that's part of what's attributing to why it's taking him so long to getting himself back in what he does best. You know, and the idea that he has to play in order for him to help keep the weight down and stuff like that, this is not rocket science. There's obviously something that he is not doing that is allowing his body to get out of control from a weight perspective that is limiting his ability to do the things that are necessary for him at that four position. You know, tonight he was backing people down. He was having a hard time just getting his feet together in order for him to position himself to back down in the post. That's unheard of for a guy like Jared Sullinger, who has the offensive capabilities, the offensive repertoire to do whatever he wants in the league. It's what made him a first-round draft pick. But clearly you see that is now being compromised because of the fact that, one, he's coming off that foot injury, and then I think, two, the seriousness of his ability to keep his weight under control. This is going to be a serious concern, and I'm telling you, if he does not make this playoff roster for the Boston Celtics, and I don't know if Brad Stevens is going to do this out of sympathy, expect this to kind of, you know, raise some flags and to cause some waves, you know, going into the offseason, regardless of where the Celtics are, whether it's in the playoffs or out the playoffs, in the first round, past the first round, whatever the case may be. You know, it could look very badly on Jared Sullinger's future if he doesn't figure out this thing, you know, before this, as we continue to move forward where the Celtics are.
Well, you ain't gonna get me talking about diet, because I just had a donut before postgame show, so you're not gonna have me talking about diets and Jared Sullinger. But I mean,
yeah, but you know what? You need Brian. You need that sugar in order for you to help us dissect the game for the Celtics. So we're giving you a pass on that. I just am hoping that that donut didn't get past to Jared Sullinger, you know what I'm saying, pre- and post-game. That's my concern.
You know what's funny, though? They posted a picture over the summertime and said he got skinny, and I was like, okay. And then I seen him, like, beginning of the season, and I was like, where did he get skinny at? I mean, is it me, or did I miss something? And everybody was like, yeah, you're right. I said, Photoshop, maybe? I was like, because he doesn't look skinny enough to me. And, you know, sometimes that's what some guys have to do. They have to go in the weight room and kind of tone down a little bit. And remember, because of the injuries, that could be the reason why he picks up the weight, because when you're injured, you can't really do but so much. So, I mean, again, Sully, you know, get yourself prepared. You know, Brad Stevens is going to have to make a tough call when it comes to the playoff roster. If Sully, you know, can give you, you know, if he can be Sully, then Sully plays. But if you're fearful that Sully isn't really ready, then you have to go with your guys. You got to go with the Jay Crowders of the world and Jonas Drekbo. You have to go with your eight healthiest or nine healthiest guys on the floor. And if that's not Jared Sullinger, then he can't take it personal. It's a business, and the Celtics are going to protect, quote unquote, their future, because, you know, I think he still is a piece of the future. I think his time is starting to wind down a little bit because of the injuries, but if he can, you know, go in the weight room 15 pounds off this summer, because he has to get quicker. He's not quick enough. You know, I mean, Jared has a lot of just things to work on. I think he needs to go call guys like an Olajuwon, maybe a Patrick Ewing, you know, somebody with quick feet. I mean, heck, go work out with LeBron James. I wouldn't care. Go work out with somebody. Pick somebody's brain. You know, pick a bigger guy's brain that can probably help you out, because size-wise, maybe I think him and LeBron are probably almost the exact same, maybe height, weight, everything. Yeah, but go pick somebody's brain, because, you know, the Celtics don't want to see another fat year, a fat Sully again. No. You got to be quicker. He's got to get this team better. And then, you know, Cal, I know you're hard on Sully, and I love Sully, but, you know, it's real. Sully's got to get himself in better shape to at least play in the playoff roster.
Well, listen, I'm hard on Sully because I've seen what he can do when he came out of Ohio State. And you know, again, my biggest concern was the fact that, you know, he was just, you know, he's injured in areas that were big men at an early age. For Jared Sullinger, at an early stage of his NBA career, he's already got back injuries. And we see how back injuries are affecting guys like Dwight Howard, who was dominating the NBA, you know, when he first came onto the scene. And now we're seeing how back injuries have basically slowed him down. And we're talking about back injuries for a guy like Jared Sullinger, who don't put numbers up like Dwight Howard does, right? So my concern is that if you're already limited from an athleticism perspective on what you can contribute on the court, what is that going to do for what you do best on the court? Because eventually that is going to get affected. At some point, those little parts to your game are going to get affected. There's no getting around it. You can practice, you can work on it as much as you want, but it won't mean anything if you're not on the basketball court. So my problem with Jared Sullinger is just minimizing all of what could possibly create these issues for him as best as possible. And I think that you know, while a lot of people tend to kind of give him a pass on this, it's not so much as a pass. It's just to me, it's just a conscious effort. And I don't want to put it on the idea, well, if one guy can do it, then so should Sullinger. I'm just saying, you know, I think the time is over for assuming that Jared Sullinger has this thing under control. Whoever he's got around his camp has to stop feeding him this idiotic thought process that, no, you got this. No, you don't got it. Because if you had it, it wouldn't be an issue for us to keep talking about. And I think when you're talking about the future of his career, because in no circumstances are we talking about Jared Sullinger in the same way that we're talking about other big-name players. And when he had his opportunity to really shine, he never really stepped up in that spotlight. So my thing is that if you want to salvage what people are going to perceive of you in your NBA career, now is as good a time as any for you to figure this thing out, especially coming off of the injury he just came off of. I feel like he's bought himself additional time for him to get this right. But he certainly is not going to be able to do that when he's not taking care of the little things that I think can help supplement him being a better basketball player and being a better consistent basketball player moving forward. We want to hear from you guys. Give us a call, 347-215-7771. We got our man Ty Ray holding us down on the social media tip. Give us your thoughts regarding the Celtics win. Isaiah Thomas being the Celtics' go-to guy. Jared Sullinger, is he in or out when we talk about this playoff roster? The Boston Celtics, are they in good shape? Are they as dangerous as how they look tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers if they were to play in the first round in the playoffs? Give us a call, 347-215-7771. Post-game show powered by CLNS Radio. Celtics defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers 99-90. Cal Lee, Brian Lamford on here discussing Celtics basketball. I want to go back to the game real quick, and then we're going to, you know, kind of top it off with what you had talked about a little bit earlier with the Celtics and whether or not they should be considered a threat to whoever they play against and where that possibility might lie between the third seed, Brian. One of the things that I think was really impressive tonight by the Boston Celtics was the fact that they got after it defensively. The Cleveland Cavaliers basically went on a three-point barrage in the third half, sparked by Mike Miller, Kevin Love, and company. A lot of that I really just think was just pure laziness on the part of the Celtics, not communicating to each other. But they really made it difficult for the Cleveland Cavaliers to get shots off. Even their key shot makers, like J.R. Smith that you alluded to earlier, didn't even score a point and help out this Cleveland Cavaliers team like he would normally do on a night-in, night-out basis, especially on a night with Kyrie Irving sitting this game out. What were your thoughts about how the Celtics played defensively? And as far as from your perspective, Brian, was this a fluke because of the Cavaliers, or is this truly what we're seeing is an improved defensive effort by this Boston Celtics team?
It's an improved defensive effort. I don't think it's a fluke. I don't think no game in the NBA is a fluke. You know, I mean, you have bad nights, and I think that maybe it was J.R. Smith having a cold night, but he only took four shots. He went 0-4. Look at guys like Umar Shumpert was inactive tonight. Kyrie Irving was inactive tonight. Guys like Sean Marion and Mike Miller played. When the last time that those two guys played on the floor? I mean, it's been a while since you've seen those two. There's just some strange thing between Kevin Love and LeBron James. There's just something that makes you say there's something deeper that went on somehow at some point during the season, and these two just really don't get along. Boston defensively, like I said, frustrated Cleveland as a whole. I mean, you look at the turnovers. Dellavedova, he had three. J.R. Smith had three. Mozgov had three. LeBron had three. You know, so many people had three turnovers. It was just the Celtics getting out there defensively. And, you know, you look at the numbers. I mean, again, J.R. Smith didn't score a point. I mean, come on, Kyle. Ask yourself the last time. When has J.R. Smith only took four shots in a game? Somebody slipped him some money underneath his locker and said, look, if you only take four shots a game, here you go. Because I watched him the other day against Chicago, and he took, 17 three-pointers? So it's like, okay, something's wrong with that pitcher. But, the Celtics just got out there early. They distracted Cleveland. Cleveland never really got a chance because it's almost like a boxing fight. The Celtics hit the Cavaliers with that one big punch and stunned them, and Cleveland never came back. They tried to come back, but then every time they made a run, Boston made a bigger run. So I don't think nothing in the NBA is a fluke. I can't stand that word when people say you got lucky or it's a fluke. No, this team went out there and beat the other team's ass tonight. That's what happened, plain and simple.
Held in the Cleveland Cavaliers to 41% shooting tonight, and again, you know, forcing the Cleveland Cavaliers to 20 turnovers. That you force any basketball team to turn the ball over 20 times, and listen, we don't need Stat Boy to come show us this. I'm pretty sure that the odds are that the opposing team is going to win that basketball game most of the time if you're going to force the opposing team to turn the ball over 20 times. This is the Celtics post game show, CLNS Radio. Cal Lee, Brian Lamford, talking about the Boston Celtics with an impressive victory on the road tonight, 99-90 over the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Boston Celtics moved to 37-42. They are now holding the seventh position in the Eastern Conference. And let's talk about that. If the playoffs started this weekend, if the regular season ended tonight, the Boston Celtics would then be matched up against the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round of the playoffs. You talked about it earlier, Brian, how a lot of people have already marked the finals matchup of the Eastern Conference between the Atlanta Hawks and the Cleveland Cavaliers because we don't know what to expect with teams like the Toronto Raptors, Chicago Bulls, Washington Wizards. We already know what the Milwaukee Bucks are like. But really, two of the most dangerous teams at this outset of the season, not the second half, but the final month of the season, don't rest in what we've been seeing from the first six teams in the Eastern Conference. It's the last two teams in the Eastern Conference, being the Boston Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets. Why do you think, Brian, as you were talking about earlier, that this Boston Celtics team and this Brooklyn Nets team could be dangerous to any of the other top two teams, or even three teams, the Toronto Raptors, if the Celtics somehow make it to the sixth seed? Why would they be such a formidable threat now, realistically speaking, against any of those teams when we're talking about this Eastern Conference playoff picture?
I mean, you just look at the bottom. You look at the bottom two seeds. It's not like that. Those two teams haven't been the best, but they haven't been the worst. And then you just look at, I mean, I'm just not sold on Atlanta. I know a lot of people keep telling me about the Hawks and, well, they got no Thabo Sefolosha now, who plays awesome defense. They don't have him no more. He's out for the entire season. You know, and it's like, if you catch any of these games, Celtics or Nets game, the last maybe 2-3 weeks, month ago, those two teams, they don't give up. You know, they may take a loss, but they're not going to give up. They're not just going to easily say, oh, just continue to walk over me and win games. It's not going to happen. And, you know, they have to feel somewhat disrespected because they've had to hear that, oh, the East is weak. The East, you know, the bottom seeds, they're going to get swept. So they're getting prepared. The bottom two seeds are getting prepared. And I really do believe, in my opinion, that one of them can make history in the Eastern Conference. And Atlanta better watch out, because if it's the Brooklyn Nets, they're in trouble. I think if it's the Boston Celtics, they're in trouble. Atlanta, to me, just, I don't know. I'm just not sold on Atlanta yet, Kyle. I'm not sold that they can be that championship contender team.
So out of those three teams, out of the two teams, Brian, you mentioned before that, you know, the Atlanta Hawks, I know you're not sold on them, but if you were the Atlanta Hawks, I want you to put yourself in Mike Budenholzer, Budenholzer's shoes. If you are the Atlanta Hawks, who would you want to play in that first round? And I'll even throw in the Milwaukee Bucks, because the Celtics technically still have an opportunity to move up in the seedings to possibly sixth. If for any reason the Milwaukee Bucks should happen to fall all the way to eighth, you know, out of those three teams, if you're the Atlanta Hawks, who would you want to be playing?
Wow. I mean, because even if Milwaukee falls to eight, they're a young team who could run the Hawks off the floor. I mean, if I'm the Hawks, I probably want to play Brooklyn in the playoffs, even though I still think that Brooklyn can make noise. Deron Williams can easily have a 1-for-8 game and he not want to shoot no more. He checks out of the game mentally and physically. So, you know, where the Brooklyn Nets are is the eighth spot, and I think that's what the Hawks – I think that's the team the Hawks want. I don't think the Hawks want the Celtics, and let's just be honest. You don't want this Celtics team because it's you're going to know that the Celtics were there. I don't know about Brooklyn, but I know that Deron Williams doesn't have a great playoff game. So, Atlanta, keep rooting for the Brooklyn Nets, because that will be your eighth seed, and that will be your – not a cakewalk, but beginner steps to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Deron Williams hot and cold, but clearly they're riding the shoulders of Brooke Lopez, who, you know, but listen, if nothing else, if there is a second half MVP award that could be given, I would think it would be given to a guy like Brooke Lopez, because we weren't even realistic to talk about the Brooklyn Nets making the playoffs almost 3 weeks ago had it not been for the play of Brooke Lopez and especially being in Lionel Hollins' doghouse. To me, says, you know, speaks volumes about where he believes his game can be, you know, if it's not going to be with Brooklyn, it clearly can be with some other team that can truly appreciate his skill set as a big man. I'm going to flip it back to you because I know, you know, it felt a little uneasy being an Atlanta skin. So let me go ahead and put you back in that green jacket a little bit real quick. If you're the Boston Celtics, who do you want to play against in that first round? Who do you think the Celtics match up really well to knock a team off against?
Atlanta? I just love Atlanta for some reason. Atlanta? Playoff time, Cleveland's going to do something crazy. They got two of the best. They actually had the two of the best scores in the East, probably in the NBA, to be honest. But they got two of the best scores on one team in the East. So I don't think they really want to play Cleveland, even though I would accept the challenge as a Celtics fan. But they should want to get their hands on the Hawks. The Hawks started off really hot. And they didn't get cold, but they started to kind of show you a little bit this is why they're the Hawks. But they started off so hot. They never look back, and that's where they're at. But I think the Celtics match up pretty damn good with the Atlanta Hawks. And if I'm a Celtics fan, if I'm a Celtics player, I'm pushing for the Hawks because that's kind of like a rivalry too, though, Kyle, if you notice. That's been a rivalry. Hawks and Celtics, you know, Celtics at one time were a one seed and Hawks were an eight seed. Then this would be a reversal and the Celtics would be an eight seed and the Hawks would be a one seed. So, it's Atlanta that I want. I don't want nothing to do with Cleveland. I'm sorry. I just mean being honest. But if we had to play him, then, hey, so be it. Bring it on.
Well, if the Celtics do make the 60, I like them against the Toronto Raptors. You know,
ooh.
To me, I like the fact that, number one, the Toronto Raptors team is still struggling to find themselves. I know that Dwayne Casey pretty much has the same group of boys that he had last year that went 7 games against the Brooklyn Nets. But I'm not completely sold on the health of Kyle Lowry. I think that DeMar DeRozan is still games away. Terrence Ross has been a disappointment this year. Jonas Valanciunas, yeah, I'm sure he could be a formidable threat, but we got some bodies to throw at him. I think the Toronto Raptors still struggle to score, and against teams that kind of have a quick and aggressive backcourt, they don't tend to play up to the level that I think a lot of people are capable of playing. I really like that idea that if the Celtics move themselves in that third position and the Chicago Bulls stand pat at four, playing against the Toronto Raptors, I think would be a very good matchup, especially since the Celtics play the Raptors in the same division. To your point, though, if we had to choose between the two top teams, between the Atlanta Hawks and the Cleveland Cavaliers, I agree with you. I think that the Atlanta Hawks and the Celtics match up well, a lot better. I think tonight was somewhat of a fluke because the X factor was that the Cavaliers didn't have Kyrie Irving. I don't know where the Celtics in their backcourt can match up with something like that. But I can tell you that as far as the Atlanta Hawks go, I respect the Hawks grabbing those 60 wins. I don't think that it's a fluke. And I think for playoff purposes, the reason why I believe that the Hawks are a very dangerous group is because they've got guys like Paul Millsap and Al Horford in that front court who have had playoff experience. They pushed the Indiana Pacers to 7 games last year, and they didn't have Al Horford. If they have a much-improved Jeff Teague, Dennis Schroeder is playing excellent basketball. Yes, they did lose Tyrese Cephalosha, but DeMar Carroll has been playing great basketball as well, too. I think that they're just a team that whoever they play against in that first round, I believe with confidence that they win. They're just a better basketball team. But we're talking about matchups and giving teams an opportunity or giving teams a chance. I think the Celtics match up a lot better against the Atlanta Hawks than they do against the Cleveland Cavaliers. And so I think it's really great that we're even talking about it to this level and degree because we obviously are talking with some kind of confidence that this Boston Celtics team is going to wind up being one of the teams that are going to make it to the postseason. And that to me says big, 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 big things for the Celtics team. Let's quickly take a look at what the Celtics have got on plate the last 3 games. Cleveland on Sunday, Toronto on Tuesday, Milwaukee is the final game. Brian, give me a quick assessment about what the Celtics' chances are in doing what's necessary for them to secure that lock in being in this playoff picture.
Hey, go out there, get started early, limit your turnovers. Get to the free throw line, and in my knowledge, I don't think the Celtics are going to lose any of these games. And if they lose one, maybe 3-1, but I'm looking at a complete finish off, and I think they can do it. But like I said, limit the turnovers and get started early.
Yeah, man. I like the Celtics. This was such a big win for them tonight, defeating the Cleveland Cavaliers, not just on the road, but also coming off of an impressive victory against Detroit, impressive victory against the Toronto Raptors. Three games in a row, they can make it four, taking it at home against Cleveland Sunday, April 12th. Be sure to tune in. 3 p.m. is the tip-off for that game. The Celtics are taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's going to be good stuff, man. I know that we're going to be covering it. Jared Weiss is going to be on board, giving us the feel in the locker room and stuff. This is an exciting time, Celtics fans. So you definitely want to be on board. You definitely want to jump on and kind of ride this roller coaster, to the very finish. It's hot and heavy, and the Celtics are in the middle of it. Brian, man, great show tonight. Again, man, just really impressive stuff from the Celtics team, and it's definitely got us amped up. It's got us watching intently these last final three games, man. And listen, if you're a Celtics fan, you couldn't ask for a better display of competitiveness in basketball from Brad Stevens' boys tonight defeating the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, yeah, man, the feeling is mutual, man. Awesome job tonight. And, this team got to go green, go, because – you know, any game that you lose now becomes very pivotal. So if you win out, remember, if you win out, you're automatically in. But if you start losing games, you're going to need help. And in this league, you do not want to depend on no help. So, you know, Celtics fans, stay loyal. Stay true to your green.
All right, that's it, man. Hey, Sunday, you guys, tune in. CLNS post-game show will be coming at you after the game between the Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Boston Celtics, three in a row, winners of seven straight on the road, seventh seed currently in the playoff picture. They are alive and kicking, and they pretty much control their own destiny with what they can do, trying to get themselves in the Eastern Conference playoffs. Big, big stuff. Be sure to tune in with us again on Sunday. We want to hear from you. 347-215-7771 is the number, so you get that phone by your side after the Celtics put a whooping on the Cleveland Cavaliers at the TD Garden on Sunday. For the CLNS Radio postgame show, Celtics once again defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers 99-90. Brian Langford, Cal Lee, we appreciate you guys, and we'll catch up with you next time.
See ya.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.